This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. Today is a really special moment because I'm actually in bed with a stunning fitness expert. And we are not just in any bed, but in the luxury bed of luxury beds, the Heston's Vivitus. The Vivitus is the result of centuries of passion for craftsmanship and passion for expert bed making. Heston's Vivitus is a showcase of the finest natural materials, painstaking traditional handcraft and detailing. And to experience the Vivitus sleep is like touching a dream. Quite simply, it's the best bed Heston's ever made. Thank you, Heston's, for making this happen, and make sure to experience the Vivitus at Heston's LA. During your private VIP experience, you'll be guided through Vivitus construction, your personalized options, and immerse yourself in its tranquility. Visit HestonsLA.com for more info. Today's guest is Swedish-born Tanja Jelevich, and she is not your typical personal trainer. With a master's degree in psychology, an extensive list of credentials and certifications, plus more than 20 years of experience training and coaching clients, Tanja is a true expert in the field of fitness, health, and wellness. She has trained multiple Hollywood stars such as Matt Dillon, Pink, Rachel Weisz, and Marisa Tomei, to name just a few. She was also the trainer for Sweden's Biggest Loser. Through her brand Loud Fitness, Tanja has been promoting a mind-body connection long before it became a catchphrase. Tanya's goal is to work with her clients to help them create a better life, to live physically and mentally pain-free through a balance of fitness, nutrition, and positive psychology. Tanja Jelevich's mission is to help create their life force. Today, we will share her story. Welcome, Tanja.
Thank you, thank you.
So I just want to share with all of you guests, I've been trying to get Tanja on this podcast for a very long time, so the pressure is on. So I hope you're ready. Are you?
I think so. It's been long enough. Thank you for being so persistent, by the way.
Yeah. Are you always playing hard to get?
What should I answer to that? Probably yes.
I think that's a good thing, because if you're open to too much in life and don't say no to the right things, you can't excel, right?
I think so. I think you have to be selective. But I think I've learned to be selective with my time and what I do, and not to overextend myself, which I'm trying to teach my clients. But, you know, we're not perfect. That doesn't happen all the time. But sometimes I'm good at it.
Yeah. So I'm curious, who is Tanja Jelevich really as a person?
Oh, God. This is exactly why it took so long for me to say yes. Now I have to expose myself. You know what? I think I am a young athletic nerd back in Sweden, growing up in a setting where I was really fascinated by my body in the sense of what it can do. And it was also my therapy. But I was growing up also being a total book nerd. So in all that nerdiness, I never thought I was going to actually move anywhere else in the world. I grew up in a small town with immigrant parents. And then one day I felt like I had grown out of my skin in my small town and I needed to see something else. And so I did. So I went on vacation to LA with my friend, which I never thought was going to happen. And then I kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah. There's a lot of us who fell in love with this city. So let's talk about life growing up in Sweden. You told me you were nerdy and athletic as a kid. How was life growing up? Your parents are first immigrants?
Yeah.
So
just
how
like yours, I think.
Yeah, just like mine, yeah.
Yeah, first immigration. I was born there. My brother was born there. My sister wasn't born there. I grew up in a small town where it was pretty integrated. I didn't And it was, you know, before there was a bigger wave of immigration, I think. So I grew up like having not so many problems. It was really easy. I had a lot of friends of everyone and everywhere, like you do in a small town. And I just remember my childhood being really good. We had a lot of adversity anyway because of my parents' situation. And us kids, I don't know if you had this experience, but us kids ended up having to parent our parents a little bit, like take care of them. And my outlet was to go to school, to read books, and to go to the track and run. That was my own personal outlet. That was like my time. So, but it was nice to grow up in a small town. I felt, I never felt not welcome in any way. It was always kind of good.
So when you were a kid, what did you dream about?
Well, I actually had a lot of nightmares when I was a kid, oddly enough.
Did you have a dream to become an athlete or something specific? Or
I remember the only dream I really had was to become like a dancer. That was a dream. I always wanted to become a dancer or a choreographer. So I always used to either set up dance performances in like when I was really young in school or things like that. But when it came to athleticism and school, I was just really happy learning and doing the thing I was doing in the moment. From a very early age, I was like, I love to see where if I can sprint a little bit faster, not thinking that it would actually take me anywhere. I don't think my parents were of that mindset to push me to go anywhere else.
Yeah, and I think we're going to use this time wisely to really share, because you study psychology and you work with so many people the last 20 years, actually helping them. So there's so much wisdom in you. So let's talk about your philosophy for life. What is that? If you would tell me, if you have the chance now, this is the only chance you have to meet me. Uh-huh. What's your life philosophy with health and wellness?
Oh, that's such a big question.
We have time.
I think it is trying to honestly be grateful for the things that you do have. Not wanting more, but being very grateful on a daily basis of the things that you have and that you have created and the gifts that people give you. Because nothing is, you can't take anything for granted. And I think people live a life where they take things for granted, and when they don't have it, they get upset. And then the trouble begins. They get angry because they didn't have that thing or experience that thing. But if you appreciate every single thing you're experiencing and really appreciate like a meeting and other people and what other people say and bring to the table or do, you're already winning. Yeah. That gratitude is like a fulfilling feeling inside of you. You can just... An example is how many people we meet every day who complain a lot, like about everything. And we come from a culture in Sweden that where people complain a lot. And I didn't know that until I moved here. I'm like, why do people in Sweden complain so much? But I think it's just a cultural thing. But I think that is one of the staple things I try to remind myself all the time, because I whine like everybody else, and I have been through so many ups and downs. And it's really about how your attitude is towards those things, how you deal with adversity and how you deal with things that come your way. It's like you can choose to learn and, you know, take it as a lesson, or you can choose to have it actually block your path. And that is, that's your choice. I keep on like smacking your mic. And I also think one other big part of it is that it's so important to respect the fact that the things you have to do to take care of yourself, if you now want to take care of yourself, are really free and that you have to take advantage of those things. You need to move because movement is therapy on many different levels. You need to eat well because that feeds your body so that you can be in this world. I mean, in essence. And you need to breathe air. And not everybody is as lucky as we are. I mean, the people that are hearing your podcast are probably in the vicinity of as lucky as we are. But not everybody in the world is. And we need to be grateful for that. So having this understanding of gratitude and what we really have, and also the understanding of how you can take care of yourself physically with these like simple tools, I think it's a good recipe for life and longevity. And then you can layer things on top of that. But I think that's a good foundation somewhere to begin.
Yeah, I think being grateful is key. It's number one. But what would you say to people that have a hard time being grateful because they see the neighbor having something better, or they see that they are doing everything in their power, but they don't get what they think they deserve, so to speak? And I know a lot of people, for example, in this city where there's so much things going on, so many people that are super successful, quote unquote, what is success? We can talk more about that. Mm-hmm. But at least in the eye of many, many other people, right? So how do you work with gratefulness when you think you have scarcity in your life?
I think that it's like a catch 22, or I don't know how I can say it in English, but it is like, if you don't practice having gratitude for what you have, you will always look over to the other side to see what you don't have. It's like comparison is the devil at that point. And you will, I think, create a life around thinking that all the things I don't have will make my life better. And that's working from a position of loss. I don't have. Instead of training yourself to work from a place of I do have. I have all these things, and these things are valuable. We are constantly inundated and bombarded by, you will be better if you have this. This is success. If you have this car, this watch, this or that, that's going to make you into this person that is on that picture. But all of that is just like some sort of facade. It's not real. None of it is real. The only thing that is real is the thing that we create on the inside of our mind and our body. That is our reality. And we can change that consciously by creating that situation on the inside. Positive psychology talks a lot about how regular people in life learn how to be grateful, gratitude, how to change their mindset, their attitude, so that they will live a more colorful, a more gratifying life. Positive psychology actually says that you can change your experience because your experience comes from the inside. But that, looking over to other things, is to have the experience come from the outside. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I work a lot with this because I've been doing martial arts all my life, and I recently have started with yoga, and yoga helped me so much, because coming from a martial arts perspective, we are spiritual, but it's more about preparing the warrior. And when it comes to my yoga practice, I've learned to also be kind to myself, to put pressure, but also be kind. So there's a couple of things that I use just with talking about gratefulness. Every morning I put my hand on my heart and one on the belly and just try to think about what am I actually grateful for. And it has worked tremendously well for me. Do you do any things like that? Do you talk to yourself about gratefulness and what you're grateful for?
Absolutely. And but I also forget a lot. I forget it a lot of the time. Because you live also in a world, especially us here, in a world that's very fast. And you're supposed to get things done and people are expecting things from you. And you think that people are expecting something from you. So therefore you create an expectation on yourself. But I think the way I remind myself to be grateful, I have to say, I think I'm on some level, I've always been doing that. Like I look at the sun and I go, the sun is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But I'm a sun worshiper, so I also like to be tan. You know what I mean? But
me too.
You know, being by the ocean is amazing because there is this big, vast thing of water and you're like, I am so nothing in front of this. Being in an airplane, traveling to a place in the world, I'm sitting in this plane and it's taking me from one reality to another. I think I've always had a mindset that's fascinated and surprised by this stuff. But I do practice gratitude every day by speaking it out, by being happy for what I have and in my relationship, by always being grateful for what my partner is doing, by being grateful with family and friends, and always being reminding of my small little golden nuggets, like the little things that actually create your life. Because the big things are not the ones that are going to create your entire life. They're going to be happenings in your life that create that little pearl necklace of events. And then we make that pearl necklace longer and longer by appreciating.
So let's talk about physical activity and movement. What do you think, what's your philosophy on movement? You said it's important to move the body. How often, what type of activities, and so on?
I'm like, whatever your heart desires. That's such a big question. That's like a 4-podcast question. I believe in general that movement can really be anything. It can be somebody who loves dancing and it fulfills them, and maybe they set up to dance like half an hour every day or take brisk walks. It can also be, I want to do CrossFit and have a strong body. Movement for health and well-being and maybe as an antidepressant doesn't have to be so rigorous. It can be 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week in a consistent manner, in a medium pace. You know what I mean? It depends on what your goal is. I think all movement is important. And I think everybody that can and is able to needs to find some type of movement. But everybody has a different goal and purpose with it.
But what if you don't like working out or moving? How do you get started?
Yeah, that's a big problem. I mean, I have tons of clients that don't like to really move. But very often, if you stick with those clients, they do actually start loving it after a while. It is something that they need to learn and overcome that barrier of, I don't like this, this is difficult for me. And then when they finally feel the positive aspects and the positive results of what movement actually does, sometimes they even become obsessed with the movement. It's actually happening with one of my clients right now who was a disaster. He would come to the sessions half an hour late and only have 20 minutes left of his session. And I think anyone else for a long time would stop trying with him. But I'm so stubborn. And I knew at some point this would change, but it took a long time for him to change. This guy now does yoga 3 times a week. He runs hill sprints. He trains really heavy. His body has changed. His mind has changed. He is interested in himself and in his life. And he completely, every time he sees me, he thanks me and he goes, we have done this, but you have done this. This is what movement has done with me. And it's a complete transformation. It's amazing. Not everybody goes through that, of course, but It happens often if you're stubborn enough with the clients. I've experienced, at least.
Is that why you do what you do?
Yes. That feels really nice. That feels really cool. It feels nice to have something to do with somebody else's wellness journey and well-being, to help somebody go from "I feel like shit" to "we're having sex 5 days a week now." I mean, you know what I mean? It's like that.
We're in a bed now. Take it easy. We're in a so comfortable bed. Take it easy, Tanya.
Anyway, that happens a lot. It's a very comfortable bed too. But that's cool. It makes me feel good. It makes me I always say I'm not going to save the world in any way. On some level, I think we all feel like we want to contribute. Some people contribute by being big superstars and doctors and, mathematicians, so they can send rockets to space and all these things. But I don't have those skills. This is what I do. This is what I have. I have a passion. I have a conviction. I have an understanding of something that I really believe in. And I think this is, in my mind, maybe crazy, my way of trying to impact the world somehow and change the world one person at a time.
Thank you so much, Tanya. And I also want to thank everybody who's listening in, and also a big thanks to our sponsor Heston's Beds here in Los Angeles, that we could lay in this beautiful and comfortable Vivitus bed. Heston's will change the way you sleep forever with the finest beds, mattresses, and bedding accessories in the world. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep. Check them out at hestonsla.com. And if you have any questions and comments, please email us at info@ilsuccess.com. If you like this podcast, don't forget to share it with your friends and family. That's how we grow, and we want to help a lot of people. So thanks again, Tanya.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that I finally did this. This was awesome. I hope it do help people. You're doing such a great job. I'm impressed.
Thank you, Tanya. That means a lot. So good night, everybody. Now we're going to get out of here. I'm afraid to be in this bed anymore with Tanya. Have a good night.